Tom Carkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be mainly sunny. We'll have a high around 72. Kenosha right now, 61 degrees. It's 63 in Burlington, 60 Milwaukee, also 60 degrees in Racine. The Racine County Sheriff's Department says a man with a history of mental illness suffered hypothermia after being in Lake Michigan for a time late Sunday morning near the mouth of the Root River. The Water Patrol dispatched, learning while en route that the person in the water was not wearing a life jacket, had fallen off a jet ski, and was refusing help from other boaters, except for a life jacket that was tossed to him. A news release indicates that the 24-year-old man is a county resident who was non-responsive to questions by deputies, which prompted a trip to the hospital. It's now been over a week since 59-year-old Lynn Rickard disappeared from the Kansasville area, and nothing to indicate what happened. Extensive efforts to find her, including the use of drones and dogs, have turned up nothing, to the point that the search operation was amended in terms of approach and resources. Rickard's family still offering a reward. Her husband says she had a change of medication. It caused her problems. She climbed out of a bedroom window and took off without her oxygen. It worked so well last year that a group of Wisconsin animal shelters is again waiving the fee for adopting adult cats during the month of July. 10 shelters, including the Wisconsin Humane Society, which has a location, of course, in Racine, taking part in the I Cat Believe It promotion, two more than last year. Angela Spitas with the Humane Society says this promotion was a big success in 2016.
Among the combined shelters, we had an increase of 25% of adoptions in just the month of July last year. And it's one of the peak months for cat intake in shelters in southeastern Wisconsin. And so we wanted to do it again this year.
Although the adoption fee is going to be waived, Spitas does say that the process for adopting a cat will remain the same.
There's nothing else with the adoption process that changes. You still work with your adoption counselors. But in the case of the Wisconsin Humane Society, all of our cats are going home with spay-neuter surgery, microchips, initial vaccinations, a certificate for a free veterinary exam in the community, plus a bag of starter food.
And she says shelters around the state experience a dramatic peak in cat intake during the summer months versus the winter. The Wisconsin Humane Society alone, with nearly 500 cats in its three shelters versus about 160 back in January. They're hoping that the lives of 1,000 cats can be saved through this promotion. Kenosha County Substance Abuse Coalition launching an ad campaign to try to spread the word it's okay to ask for help. Based on a speech by author William Moyers given to the coalition back in 2015, three billboards being used to get out that message, along with other advertising that says it's okay to ask. Uncomfortable conversations save lives. Campaign will last about 6 months, going to include a variety of messages aimed at the entire community, all being funded through a Partnership for Success grant. Financial practices of a Kenosha Unified Sports Booster Club continuing to evoke frustration, evident at the latest meeting of the school board, even though the matter wasn't even on the agenda. Board continuing to get heat from a handful of parents who claim that the district has not been aggressive enough in dealing with questionable spending and accounting practices at the Bradford End Zone Club. School board member Rebecca Stevens accused board president Tamara Coleman of quashing an independent investigation that had been recommended by the superintendent.
The issue of what has happened still has not been addressed, and Dr. Sue requested in an email that we wanted an investigation regarding this issue, and it was overridden by the school board president and then some very rude things toward me.
Okay was the only reaction Coleman had to Stevens' accusation, either during or after the meeting. This month, the board is expected to hold a work session, in part to deal with the district's policies related to booster clubs and other parent-run organizations. Meanwhile, a limited investigation of the Bradford End Zone Club that was conducted last year by Superintendent Sue Savaglio-Jarvis identified or was considered some sloppy bookkeeping practices and recommended several changes, though it's not clear if all the recommendations were implemented. Racine Water Utility is going to have a new attorney going forward, Joseph Muratori informing the panel he would be closing his practice. And he recommended the services of Waukesha-based Arntz, Molter, Racy, Riffle, and Larson to take over. The Water Commission recently voted on the change in a legal counsel, which mainly involves contract talks. Now, recent agenda minutes show that one of the firm's attorney, H. Stanley Riffle, is quite familiar with the local retail water agreement in this area and, quote, would be a valuable resource in negotiating with Yorkville, unquote. law firm's webpage says it represents Raymond and his legal consultant to Racine Sturdivant and Caledonia. And a one-time gas station and vehicle repair location, now in the process of being transformed into the site for John Connor Company, a plumbing contractor, buildings in the 3400 block of Douglas Avenue. At the most recent City Plan Commission meeting, Steve Mattson from the planning office explained how this proposal needed a flex development overlay district as well as a conditional use permit.
We're not adding any additional permitted uses. The conditional use that will be allowed is a contractor facility that includes the offices and the showroom. And then we have some uses that we're going to be prohibiting, just large boarding houses, lodging houses, rooming houses, and the community living arrangements.
Aside from the council stamp of approval expected Wednesday night, existing gravel at that site is going to have to be paved and the stormwater runoff accounted for, among other steps needed in this process before an occupancy permit will be granted. The Kenosha Civic Veterans Parade held yesterday afternoon. Awards presented in five categories for floats, one picked best of show. Kenosha Area Vietnam Veterans, first place for patriotism. Snap-on, first place for artistic excellence, first place for hometown pride, first place best use of a theme, and best in show. The Salon Professional Academy got first place for spirit and energy, also second place for artistic excellence. Other Kenosha Parade entry recognitions, including the Kenosha Literacy Council, Kenosha Ramblers Youth Football and Cheer Program, Indian Trail Hawks cheer team, and the Lakeview Technology Academy's Super Mileage Vehicle Club. Now, a lot of activity celebrating the 4th of July getting going today, including there's a new event in Racine. The first annual Strike Up the Festivities at Monument Square from 6 until 9 p.m. going to feature food, beverage, and music. Also tonight, the Sturdivant, the 4th of July fireworks display. They always go before Racine's. It'll begin at dusk from Fireman's Park, always an attraction. This year's theme, Dreams Come True Under the Red, White, and Blue, the Racine 4th Fest Parade, stepping off tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Pre-parade, of course, beginning at 8:30. That's a lot of sirens if you want to hear them. In addition to the popular Iwo Jima float and the Calliope, and the parade will also have 11 marching bands, including one from Norway, by the way. At about 9:30 or so, you'll want to look up. You probably won't be able to miss that. A military flyover, a World War II-era P-51 Mustang, as well as a modern A-10 Thunderbolt. And a couple of ground attack planes will also be available at the event. Tomorrow evening, of course, you got local planes flying along the shoreline, the 4th Annual Parade of Planes. And then the fireworks display, that begins at dusk. That's coming up tomorrow. The issue of municipal employee compensation, a lot more complicated than you might think, to the point that communities like Racine and Kenosha hire consulting firms to help create an effective, comprehensive, more simplified system. Racine Alderman hearing last week from Patrick Glynn of Carlson Dittman about ways to improve the city's position so as to not only retain employees, but also attract new workers when the need arises.
Anyone who says they've got a perfect evaluation system and a perfect pay-for-performance system, I would challenge them. I mean, I think it's always, you know, if you, even speaking with companies, you know, they have, you know, what I would consider to be experts in this process, they're always fine-tuning and tinkering with it. It's just a challenge.
He noted Kenosha and Burlington are their clients, too, still working on their policies, explaining how every community is unique and requires its own detailed model. In his presentation and the question and answer afterward with the alderman, Glynn said that for Racine, it comes down to priorities and balancing fairness versus fiscal, while noting the compensation plan is competing with not only other municipalities, but also the private sector. The Racine Council will be talking about that issue more in the coming weeks. Now, on Wednesday night, the Racine Common Council will be meeting instead of tomorrow, of course, because of the holiday. And at the front of the agenda, a series of communications going on to different committees. Off to the Finance and Personnel Committee will be the Director of City Development requesting to discuss more funding and recommended changes to the city's White Box program.
We hear of more just about every week. And as you can see, it's having a dramatic impact on the kinds of rents that people can afford to provide. It's having a dramatic impact on getting vacant properties that have been vacant for more than 5-10 years in some situations back on track.
That's Amy Connolly noting several weeks ago the original allotment was running out and she would be requesting more funding because of the program's popularity. Also off to the Traffic Commission, 15th District Alderman Melissa Lemke asking for discussion about traffic calming measures on Erie Street between Melvin Avenue and Three Mile Road. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section of it and throughout the day at WRJN News. That'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.